This is the December 12, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee, otherwise known as the NFC. We believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask Secretary R. Paul Martin to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name, Sharon Adams. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Kamau Harris.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Jim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden. Sean Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Okay, that's seven.
Thank you, R. Paul. The next item on the agenda is to adopt the agenda, for which purpose I will read it. Agenda, number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements. Number five, set next meeting date. Number six, report from the executive director with Q&A, 30 minutes. Number seven, updates from stations on the status of their budgets and when the NFC may expect to receive them, 5 minutes. Number eight, minutes for 10 minutes. Number nine, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead, Kim.
Why aren't we reviewing the PAN budget?
Because we just got it today, and I wanted everybody to have a chance to look at it. I didn't want to put this in the minutes. My health doesn't need to be in the minutes, but I've been quite sick for the last couple of weeks with a respiratory infection, and I'm still recovering. But I didn't reach out to them, and we just got it today. So I think we can explain that more when we get to the set next meeting date.
All right.
Thank you, Kim. Anyone else? Hearing none, the agenda will be adopted. Thank you, R. Paul. Now we'll go to the chair's announcements. Tonight we'll hear a regular report from the Pacifica Executive Director, Stephanie Wells. Please look at any documents posted by National Finance Committee Secretary R. Paul Martin on the NFC list. The Pacifica Affiliates Network, or PAN, sent the NFC their draft FY24 budget today. The executive director said today that the Pacifica Radio Archives can also have a budget ready for review on December 19, 2023. Tonight, the chair will ask the NFC to schedule a special meeting on December 19, 2023 to review those two budgets. There are no other new announcements. So that takes us to number five. Set next meeting date. As you just heard, I'll go ahead and make it formal. I'm going to move that we set a special meeting of the NFC for December 19th, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any discussion?
Well, so what is this meeting for?
This would be to review the, as was mentioned in the announcements, the PAN budget and the PRA budget.
Okay, so both, okay.
I think we can do both of those in one night. Is there any other discussion?
Question?
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. What does this suggest about what would ordinarily be the second meeting of this month, the next week, given that it's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the day after Christmas? Are we substituting the December 19th meeting for the meeting on December 26th?
That is a good, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. That is a good question. I did consider considering it all at one time, but I also thought we could wait until the 19th and see if people knew what their plans would be for the 26th. I have a feeling that nobody's really going to want to meet on the 26th, but perhaps we'll know better on the 19th. Does anybody else have an opinion on that?
This is Beth again, just to say that that makes sense to me. I'm content to wait. I just wondered whether there was a more complete plan than this, but that makes sense to me to wait.
Does anybody wish to express an opinion on meeting on the 26th?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, so that means if we were to not – okay, let me get back to that. If we were to not meet on December 26th, our next meeting would be January 9th.
Right, which is
and
a
I'll
ways
note
out.
That, I'll note that the LSB officer elections are happening tomorrow in most of the stations, so – maybe, you know, there might be a change in who's a treasurer by that time.
Correct.
Well, there would probably be a change by the 26th also, so.
Correct also. So do you have a suggestion as to how that relates to meeting on the 26th? Do you think that means we should go ahead or we should wait? What are you thinking?
I think the odds are probably that the 19th, we will be, we'll probably have the same bunch of people because I think everybody's going to be voting remotely. I don't think anybody's having everybody gets together in one room and tears up paper and votes right there. So I figure the 19th, that'll probably be okay. But I think the 26th or January will, either way, if there are changes in the treasurer makeup, they'll happen either way for either one of those dates. But I just wanted to point out the next meeting, if we skip the 26th, the next meeting would be January 9th.
Thank you, Paul.
Alan for the staff.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name, but go ahead, whoever that was.
I'll let Kim go and then you.
And I put me back on the stack. This is Beth.
I'm sorry, the previous speaker to Beth. I could not make out what you were saying. I apologize. Could you repeat, please? Okay. I think that was Teresa asking to be on the stack after the next speaker. The only one I heard for the stack now is Beth. Is that right?
Oh, I asked to be on the stack.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I apologize. Go ahead, Kim.
Teresa was saying.
And Julie.
While I speak.
Okay. I hear Kim. Julie, then Beth. Go ahead, Kim.
All I want to point out is we still have the budgets for WBAI, WPFW, and KPFA, and the national office. So those are four kind of big budgets to do. Just want to put that out there.
I appreciate that, Kim. I'll just say that I'm inclined to meet on the 26th, but I know that holiday meetings are sometimes difficult. Julie.
Yeah, I won't be available on the 26th. Sorry.
Yeah, no worry. It's understood. And Beth.
I think Teresa Allen was ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yep, Teresa. Teresa, can you hear us?
I'm not sure. I would like to know why you're not department at the same time. I mean, Has anybody heard? Like, I can't see anybody here.
Is anyone able to understand what's being said? I can't.
I can't
understand any of it.
I'm not even sure they're speaking to us.
James, Fred here. The noise is definitely from Teresa Allen's line, but it's not Teresa.
Yeah. Teresa, can you hear us?
Anthony, I'm sorry you can't hear me. I'm in a vehicle.
We hear you now. We hear you now.
Okay. I'm just saying, unless we're sure that we're going to have a budget, a balanced budget from another unit, I cannot see.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Very spicy.
Is there anyone from one of those units that has not presented a balanced budget that we're sure they're going to have one?
For, like, taking a spot, and I'm like, oh, really? Yeah.
I think Teresa is asking, will we have a budget to review on the 26th? But I really can't make it out. Okay, Teresa,
if we do not have a budget to review on the 26th, then I'm opposed to having it. Thank you.
Okay. I think I got that. You're opposed if we don't have a budget. I appreciate that. And I will just say, as of now, we don't know, but I'm sure we could. I know that the KPFA budget is reportedly ready to go, and I know that the national office can probably get us a budget rather quickly. I hope they can. Stephanie can confirm that. But so I'm going to go back to the original thinking that I had, which was let's wait till the 19th and see what is available for the 26th at that time and see what people's thinking is about their schedules.
May I speak before we finish?
Of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to say I will be available on the 26th. At the beginning of the year, I set aside all the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month, so I have that set aside. I think we should also meet on the 19th. I think it behooves us to get as much done now as the body that we are, given that we know each other, we know the routine, we know what's expected, we'll be more efficient than a room full of new people. And it's our responsibility to do this. So I'm supportive of doing as much as we can. And if we let other stations or other units know now that the 26th is a target date, that gives them 2 weeks to hit that mark. So it's late in the year, it doesn't seem like, you know, too much to ask that they come up with a budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
We haven't reviewed financials in a while, and I'll be asking when we'll be getting the next of those. So I would hope maybe another set before the end of the year. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I've been advocating for months now to set extra meetings to review budgets. I mean, the KPFA has been ready for like 3 months, for example. I mean, so any extra meetings is okay with me because we need to do this. I'm assuming BAI and PFW will get their budgets in at the next meeting, at their next meeting. But I don't know, maybe not. You know, who cares about budgets? So that's my two cents.
Okay, I'm going to respond a little bit. The KPFA budget has not been ready for 3 months. There was an issue with it that it had to undergo some revision within the last few weeks. But other than that, it was, you know, they thought it was ready, but it turned out it wasn't. We will see where the stations are with their budgets when we get to that item on the agenda. For now, I'm going to, if there's no other discussion, I'm going to ask our Paul to take the roll on the motion that was on the floor unless someone wants to amend it with some mention of the 26th. But I think, again, my preference would be set a special meeting for the 19th, and then on the 19th, see where we are for the 26th.
Well, can you just ask if there are any objections to that? Because I have no objection. So
I could do that. I'm asking, waiting to see if anybody wants to amend. Hearing none. R. Paul, can you take the – oh, yes, I'll just ask if there's any objection. Is there any objection to setting a special meeting on December 19th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time? Hearing none. R. Paul, I know you'll have to post that tonight.
I'll post that during the next part of the meeting.
Appreciate that.
Kim again.
Okay.
Kim again.
Kim, go ahead.
Do we need to schedule a closed session meeting just in case with these two budgets so we don't have to spend a half an hour arguing about it if we want to?
I am never against setting a closed session in case we might need one. So do you want to make a motion to that effect, Kim?
Okay. Move to, schedule notice a closed session.
Notice a closed session if needed. Okay. Is there any discussion?
What date?
Same date, December 19th. Any other discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none. That's done. Thank you, Kim. Okay, that's good. Now we are on number 6, and this will be a report from the executive director. Stephanie, we have 30 minutes set aside for this. As usual, take as much or as little time as you wish, and the Q&A will take up some time also.
Okay, thank you. I know that we do a lot of some of the revisions that I know with KPFA, the revision is that there have been requests to revise the central service formula, which then in turn the national office budget was created based upon the central service formula that was 15% of all revenue. And I've had individuals at stations and also a few treasurers tell me that the 15% of all revenue has not historically been the case, and that it's 15% of all listener support and is not to include major gifts or grants. So I understand that not including 15% with grants, that would have to be kind of on a grant per grant basis based upon the requirements or restrictions that are connected with each grant. And then with donors, there would have to be clarification also on a case by case as to what constitutes a major donor. So if there's an individual that calls up that is listening to a program and then donates $10,000, is that considered listener support or is that considered a major gift? So that's where some of the, I thought that there was someone on this, I thought somebody actually from KPFA was going to present that as a new motion or revise a revision to the motion, but that hasn't happened yet. So that is the question that is changing what the budget would be for KPFA, and that in turn would then change both the budgets for the archives and for the national office. So I would think at some point that would be added to the agenda if there's one of the treasurers or the groups that is ultimately going to bring that up for a change.
This is Kim.
As far as,
I could wait, but I can also clarify this right now. It was Aki on the national, I believe, who said he was going to bring that up. And my recollection of this was Chris Corey set that formula with all revenue back like 3 years ago. So that's how that happened. We are where we are now. That's it. Just my information about that.
Yeah, Stephanie, if you don't mind, I'll comment on that as well. Yeah, it was the treasurer from, I know he was the director at the time on the committee who brought the 15% of all revenue. We had been doing some carve-outs, for example, like for KPFK to compensate them for paying for the air conditioning of the archive on the second floor of their building. And we had made some other carve-outs, and it was determined by a majority at the time that we didn't want carve-outs, and we wanted to just do 15%. And it was based on what the national office budget conservatively was going to be. So if we start to do carve-outs, we will basically be in a situation where we have to raise the percentage of the listener income to compensate for the carve-out. So it's kind of a no-win game, and it has led to confusion in the past about how certain revenues should be labeled, you know, trying to use the tax analogy, maybe do a little tax, a legal tax avoidance, if you will. So the idea was just keep it simple. But, you know, now people have a right to change their minds about these things. And so we're waiting for someone to bring it up, and it hasn't been brought up yet. So that's kind of where we are with that.
Paul? Sorry.
Go ahead, Arpaul.
Hold on one second,
Arpaul. We kind of got off the track here. Stephanie was giving a report. Stephanie, do you mind if we do this little interlude here?
No, that's perfectly fine.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Arpaul.
Gee, was it 3 years ago? I know we did it, and Chris Corey was pushing it. And was that 3 years ago? It seems like not that long ago, but I don't know. The other thing is, what's the reason for our executive session? Because I'm putting it up on KPFTX, and they say, why are you doing it?
Personal outlet issues.
What is it?
Did I hear Kim asking for recognition? So, you know, I'll just say, Arpaul, you know, it's kind of been my position that we should always be scheduling an executive session in case we need one. I know you don't like that. We have not voted to do that.
What I need is an answer for what's the reason for the executive session.
If you don't mind me finishing my sentence.
Confidential personnel issues?
I will finish my sentence. I was working up to an answer. And, yeah, I think that would be the obvious answer.
All right. Thank you.
Does Beth on that?
Go ahead, Beth.
While it makes sense that we would likely cover personnel issues, I would hesitate to rein ourselves in without knowing yet what we might encounter. And I would be more inclined just to indicate confidential matters. And we can be more specific when we get closer to time, when we have more specific information, but this way it keeps our options open in case there are other confidential matters that we need to address in that session too, so that we don't have to relitigate this at that point.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Yeah, I'm going to just respond to Beth real quickly, Kim, and to our call as well, and say, you know, if we just put several of the usual words regarding confidentiality, you know, contractual, personnel, et cetera, and put the word or between them, I think we could be covered. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, James. There is some boilerplate language that's on, I think, all the PNB meetings, you know, contractual, personnel, or... There's a third one.
Proprietary.
Legal.
Legal.
Yeah.
Financial.
Yep. Julie, you should know this pretty well.
We all should. But yeah.
No. It, because we have to do the report outs from the PMB, and one meeting we hit all five of them, and I don't remember what the fifth one is.
Right. Yeah, do you think that's enough, Arpaul?
might find that language on you know, a notice for PNB, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I've got to consider confidential personnel, contractual, or something
legal.
Issues.
Legal.
And
legal,
or.
Okay.
And or.
Endor. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. We did ask if there was any objection to that, correct? Well, just in case, is there any objection to that? Hearing none, our Paul is going to take care of that. Thank you, our Paul. Okay, Stephanie, back to your interrupted report. Apologies.
Oh, no problem. So then another thing to consider when or if this is discussed with the, you know, keeping the central services at the 15%, there was a thing that was discussed within this committee regarding stations that were having some financial concerns could pay 8% or roughly, you know, half of that. And then we would accrue what was due. So then there would have to be some sort of clarification as to what would consider having difficulties, because also with some of the stations that were voicing some concerns, they were saying that if the change in that 15% of all revenue was to cause them to have their budget be in the negative, therefore they would be in a situation where it would be only 8% that was paid. That, again, would be something that I think the committee would have to look at moving forward as to what would constitute a station to be in financial issues.
Can I ask a question for regarding that?
If Stephanie's willing to be interrupted here on a regular basis.
Yeah, because I really don't have that much to add today or tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. Go ahead, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a motion like that already passed that some stations would only pay 8% and sort of looking at the rest?
No, it was to be determined by the board on a case-by-case basis. So there was no prerequisite or no parameters laid out for what that meant. It was to be determined. It was as the language, I think, was as determined by the board. It was a matter of finding that a station was in financial distress.
So I just think that as we move forward, looking at the budgets, you know, to determine the projected revenue and the projected expenses and to determine what the 15% would be, since we're looking back every 3 months to determine what the current central services would be, it would be at that point then it would be determined whether that station was in financial distress or not, I would assume. But I'm just, you know, kind of forewarning what might be heading down the roadway as far as discussions that have to happen regarding the central services.
Thank you.
Kim again.
Kim?
I mean, KPFK is not going to be able to pay central services for a very long time. It's just not inclined. It's not able to do that, and there's no effort to do that. I mean, management at this point is very happy with the programming, even though it's, you know, inadequate listener support. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. So that's the issue we need to deal with. We ain't being able, we're not going to pay it no matter what percentage it is.
Okay. Stephanie, did you have any further?
No. And I know I guess I do. And also at KPFA, as they're looking through their budget, the budget that they had originally created was only, I believe, 7% of listener support only. which then created that their budget would be on a positive. But putting in the 15% of all revenue put their station in the negative. So that's kind of what those revisions would be. And if it was to remain, they created three separate budgets that would be what they assume the central services was, 15% of all revenue, 15% of just listener support, and then 8% of just listener support in order to not have them be in the negative each month. So I'm sure that's what we will have to take a look at. And as I revise the national office budget, I will have to assume that there will be a majority of the stations, only KPFT right now is able to pay their central services, that the majority of the stations will be paying either 8% or zero at this point. So we'll have additional columns to look at with that.
Yeah, which is obviously not tenable on an extended basis. At KPFK, we know we have issues with cutting expenses because we have the union negotiations going on. Are they, I guess, where were the most recent union negotiations, Stephanie? Was that A or K?
A. We just finished negotiations with A.
Got it. I thought so. So I don't know what we've got on the horizon in terms of personnel at KPFK, and obviously we could discuss that next time if we have an executive session. It gets to the point where expenses are cut to a point where there's nowhere else to go but personnel. We may be approaching that at some of our stations. Is there any further discussion of Stephanie's report?
This is Beth. I have a couple questions.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I'll just put both of these out there at once and let you pick them up as you will, Stephanie. First, I'm wondering when we may be able to expect the next set of financials to review, and hoping it will be yet before the end of the year. And then is there a business plan moving forward for the Pacifica Radio archive? This was a matter of discussion at the strategic planning meeting last night, and we realized that we didn't have enough. We received some useful historical information, but we didn't have the current information. I remember that you have been talking with people about what the possibilities might be, what options might be, and I'm just wondering where all that stands now. Thank you.
So I'm hoping that we'll get some consolidated financials soon. I'm not too sure why they're delayed at this point, but Marquisha and I are scheduled to talk in the tomorrow, so I'll be able to get a better date on that. As far as the archives, there's quite a bit of pre-work that needs to be done with the archives because I've been in conversations with the individuals at the archives regarding this for quite some time. So a lot of people, when they start talking about the archives, they're talking about monetizing it and why aren't we letting, you know, other people be able to use the, you know, use the archives and what are we going to do moving forward? But there's so much information and so many tapes in the archives that have not been digitized, and there's nothing that we can really do. There isn't anything we can do as far as licensing or making those available to individuals if they're not digitized. We have three different storage facilities full of 80% of the archival material. There's approximately 20% that's in the KPFK building. The archive department has been tasked with having to look through and organize what we have in the storage. extend, increase the amount of storage space that we have in order to move that remaining 20% into storage while the building is refurbished. And while that is happening, they've also been asked to take a look at what we have. There's quite a bit of archival material that we've been storing for individuals that we don't have the copyright to. And so the archive department has been trying to figure out who a lot of this material belongs to, contacting them, and then having them pay for the shipping to get it back. And we have done that with a few individuals already. Anything that we do moving forward, the tapes need to be digitized so they can be easily accessible to individuals that want to use them for curriculums. We have the archives had an agreement last year. They were able to negotiate an agreement with the Los Angeles Unified School District to be able to use our archive material and curriculum for K through 12, but it's of no use to them if it's not digitized. We have one person that's digitizing. The archive department is a staff of four and they work half time. So we have one person that's digitizing. There's absolutely no way that person could ever digitize what is necessary in two or three of their lifetimes. So what's going to have to happen is that we need to figure out what do we own, what is in good condition that can be digitized, how are we going to digitize it, where is it going to live once it's digitized, so people then can have access to it. So we have a website that the archives department started about 8 years ago, ran out of money to finish it. So the person that started building it is more than willing to continue with that. But at this point, being 8 or some odd years old, it's going to have to be completely revised because, of course, things have changed since then. So it's organizing what we have. It's almost like a junk drawer or a junk closet that's like too full and you don't really quite know where to start. A lot of information and tapes keep going into the archives, but there's decades worth of organization that has to happen. So in a year to a year and a half when the building is being refurbished, then that will give the archive department, continue to give them the time that they need to just kind of sit back and take a close look at inventorying what we have, organizing it in a way that makes sense, prioritizing what can be used to be able to make money off of it, and then still continuing to work with any sort of partner that would be willing to help us with that. We have had some conversations with some universities regarding partnering with them, that deals with having to work with their library sciences, with their archival department, with their board of trustees. So it's somewhat of a lengthy process. Whereas we've also had somebody reach out that is putting together a series of books of historical films, historical authors, poets, and he's very familiar with the archives and wants to use portions of the archives as transcriptions into these books. We can't even get in, and he would then, of course, give us a percentage of the sales as well as pay for an upfront cost of using that archival material. So he's been willing to fly out to Los Angeles to take a look at what we have, but there's no organization as to where he can even find it. So it's been just kind of an overwhelming pile up of very important materials that need to be organized in such a way. So this year of getting the building revamped and redone is a nice reset point where we can get a better grasp of what we have, digitize what we need, even if that means outsourcing and partnering with another group, because again, we are not able to do it ourselves. It will be an impossibility. Working with the people that are buying the building, because I've told them we need at least a minimum of $800,000 to help digitize the tapes of priority for us. So they'll be doing a fundraiser for us. And then at that point, we can look to, once we have the prioritized, categorized, and digitized, we can now then look to monetize it. So it's just a lot of organization that has to take place, because now, again, it's just that junk drawer that's overflowing with stuff and we don't quite know where to begin.
Beth, to the stack again after anyone else who wants to speak.
I'd like to ask a question myself here, Stephanie. You mentioned the junk drawer aspect of this. I was shocked to find out that a good percentage of the archive material was stored in a building where the climate control had broken down, and we really didn't know what the condition of the material was in. So I'm concerned about how the decisions are going to be made about what is salvageable, what's not salvageable, you know, what's being returned to people on what basis. How are we determining who has copyright and who doesn't? And what do we know about, I think the copyright on this kind of material is fairly long, but, you know, can we pick up some of the copyright if copyrights expire? How are all these decisions being made, if they are being made? I mean, it seems like the situation was chaotic. You came into it, you saw the chaos, but how are we determining how to go forward? It sounds like some of this should be policy that maybe the PNB should be involved in.
As far as the content and the knowledge of the content is with the archive department itself, what records they keep, what sort of copyright material we have, what has expired. And again, just because something is on our airwaves doesn't necessarily mean that we own the copyright to it, where we can use it as a premium. We own, you know, the copyright for the original version that was on the air, but maybe not necessarily what was in it. So it's based upon the historical records that are in the archives, when that material was brought in, how that material was categorized, and where those records are kept.
Are those records in any form that is, you know, coherent and usable, as far as you know?
There's a lot of historical knowledge in people's heads, but not necessarily in a Pacifica shared drive.
Got it. Any other questions?
Beth, back to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you.
Is this about the archives, or do you have another question?
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I share a lot of the concerns that James has listed. I'm very much concerned that Pacifica is now and has for a long time been in possession of and had custody of this fragile, precious, historic set of artifacts, and that the longer they go without being properly housed and indexed and digitized, the less value they have, because the more likely that some percentage will be ruined the longer we wait. And it's not as if we haven't had these warnings. I'm given that we're up against this move, my preference would be for Pacifica to prioritize the well-being of that resource, and to prioritize moving them as little as possible, and preferably only once. I understand there have been discussions with universities over the years. I've been hearing that now since I first came on to Pacifica Governance, like 4 years ago, and I don't see the progress there. It appears that we're stuck, and it worries me that the value of this resource, not just to Pacifica but to the world, is diminishing as time wears on. I don't think of it as a junk drawer, so to speak, because what's in most junk drawers, it's not hard to triage that stuff. It's either, you know, junk and can be tossed, or useful and it gets cycled back into the toolbox. And then there's some pile in the middle that is at your discretion. But these, my sense is that if current personnel were going to do anything along the lines of indexing and preserving, that it would have, we would have more to show for that by now. And that given that we don't, I think we need to be taking serious look at what our other options are before we move these in and out of any other precarious storage situation, only to have to be moved back again under uncertain circumstances at some point in the future. I think we have a responsibility, not just to Pacifica for this, but to the wider world. We're in possession of archives that don't exist anywhere else. The things from before the founding of Pacifica, recordings from the 40s and I believe from before that, don't exist anywhere else. And so we have a, this is a big responsibility, and we shouldn't be taking a short-term sort of logistical view of the situation. I think we need to come up with a definitive plan for moving forward that prioritizes the value of those tapes and preserving that value. Thank you.
Alan for the stack.
Ah, we can hear you, Teresa. Go ahead.
Our poll for stack two.
That's our poll.
Were these documents ever insured at any time? Were they insured when the when they were in the storage that supposedly was climate controlled? Were they promised that these storage facilities would stay climate controlled? Was that a guarantee of the contract? And are we current in paying for the storage? Thank you. And maybe we shouldn't say these things on the air. Or maybe these questions need to be asked in an executive session. So you might want to give some thought to before you answer that question. Thank you.
We are current with all payments to the storage facility. As soon as I used the term junk drawer, I regretted that because all the tapes and what we have in our archives is not junk. Just in my brain, I see a drawer or a shoebox full of tax receipts, something that is so large it can't be closed. And that's kind of where it is right now. We're overloaded with wonderful pieces of material that need to be organized, categorized, and determined what do we own, what do we not own, and what is the condition of each of these. The goal is not to move them and continue to move them places, but we do have to get the 20% out that's in the building into storage. Do we pay for new storage facilities for the 80% of the tapes that are already stored, only to sort through them again? Or do you sort through them in the existing location where they are at? So then when we move them into a permanent structure or the permanent for now structure that is climate controlled, we are only paying for those tapes that are in good condition, that can be salvaged, that can be digitized, and can be used. Or do we move everything and continue to pay for storage for tapes that are no longer usable, that are in terrible shape, or that we don't own? So I'm not one that likes to continue to touch things multiple times. If I'm cleaning out a closet, I clean it and it goes into the keep, the save, the toss. I don't like moving things over and over again. The same with the document. When you're working with the document, the less times you have to go in and keep moving and touching and moving and touching, the better, because then it just starts to get kind of a mess. So I don't know what the original, I don't know if the storage facility where these tapes have been housed for the last decade or so was ever climate controlled. I don't know when they were moved in. I don't know what those contracts are. I don't know if the climate control broke or if it was never climate controlled. So those are, again, kind of just documents that are non-existent. Or that are in historical minds of individuals and not necessarily on paper.
Our Paul.
All right. Yeah, this may not be at all practical, and it may just, you know, anyway, I'll just say it. I think that the archives are historically important for the world, period. A lot of stuff has been covered by Pacifica that nobody else gave a damn about. And so if the Pacifica recordings are, if they go away, that history is gone forever, you know, like some of the clay tablets from ancient civilizations that got used for other purposes after those civilizations fell apart, and now you can't do anything with it at all. Or, you know, like the exterior of the pyramids that the farmers took apart and turned into lime for their fields. Gone completely. And so I am thinking, and this may sound cynical, Pacifica can't really handle this. Pacifica culture is not one of really preserving and keeping stuff. Geez, the stuff I hear about, you know, now is all that matters, anything else, phooey, makes me think the solution for this might be to see if there is some entity in the world that could take this over, take over this whole job of figuring out what's there, preserving what you can, digitizing it, and all of that, you know, maybe like in a partnership with Pacifica and some entity that is stable, or maybe, sounds bad, maybe having some other entity take it over entirely and manage to do it, because it's going to take money. And as we all know, Pacifica isn't all that flush these days. And I don't know that Pacifica is going to be flush enough to do this, maybe ever. So I think we need to start thinking of a solution that's outside of just those of us in Pacifica. That's it. Thank you.
Kim, give us back.
Teresa for the side.
Yeah. Thank you, Arpaul. I'm going to put myself on the stack for a moment, and then I heard Teresa and Kim. I don't know which one was
and
first.
And Stephanie.
Okay.
I was going to say to Arpaul is that I do agree with him 100%. I don't think that we should get rid of the archives, but I am thinking of partnership, because we haven't been able to manage this for quite a few decades. And that doesn't mean that we're giving it up or giving away ownership, but we need to reach out to an organization that are experts that can partner with us on this. And there are a couple of university library science areas and historical departments of different universities that are interested. We had one just recently tell us no, because once they kind of got a look as to what it was, it didn't really quite fit all of their criteria, which didn't make much sense. But that's what I'm looking at. And even the possibility of branching the archives out into another as a standalone nonprofit under the umbrella of the Pacifica Foundation. So then we can focus on individual funding opportunities under historical preservation and historical education and digitizing that would be still under the umbrella, again, of the Pacifica Foundation, but the archives could be a standalone nonprofit under our guidance. And then working in partnership, even if it's a public-private partnership, with another organization that it has the expertise to deal with archives that we seem to have not the manpower or the ability to do.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to put myself on the stack here for a moment. So I just wanted to comment on the historical significance. We heard last night on the Strategic Planning Committee that the recordings from the late 1940s, 1949, I guess, and 1950, 1951, some of these recordings are actually unique. Even the major broadcast companies at that time don't have archives from their broadcasts of those periods. We know that there's a whole industry in old-time radio and old-time television and, you know, people buying and selling it. There's a market there for all of that. But when we talk about the true historic significance, this is not just from a, you know, a left perspective or a progressive perspective or a free speech perspective. It's just from just a plain, straight-up historical perspective. Some of this stuff is unique, and there's got to be a way that there's going to be interest in supporting this unique thing. I mean, we know that the Library of Congress has been involved, perhaps the Smithsonian. You know, there's got to be a way that we can figure this out. And that leads to my question, Stephanie, which is, do you consider how we resolve these things to be a matter of policy in Pacifica that you will bring to the PNB and in stages? I mean, I've often encouraged you to do things like come up with plans and then present them to the PNB in the areas of personnel and programming, which, you know, may have been somewhat limited in your employment contract, but I still encourage you to come bring things to us so we can consider them. Is this something that you would hopefully be bringing to the PNB for discussion and consideration as we move along, you know, rather than just wait until it's fully developed and presented as sort of a fait accompli? I think it's important that the PNB be apprised of the significance of all of this and be involved in the policy as we go along and figuring out what to do. So what do you say about that?
Well, the first steps of just being able to organize and see what we have there is not a matter of policy, but really of manpower and getting someone who specializes in archival material or at least volunteers. We have requested volunteers even at open sessions of the PNB meetings going back a couple of months for volunteers that may be willing to be to look through some of the archival material and at least help categorize it. You know, as I said, the archives is a staff of four that work half time. So it's not, you know, there's manpower shortage to try to figure out what we have, what we own, and how to prioritize it. That isn't necessarily a policy. That is just in need of manpower. When it comes
policy,
to the point,
Stephanie, the policy would be when you start deciding what to do about it, like what to dispose of, what to return to people, what to, you know, prioritize for restoration or however we're going to handle it. That would be, I think, where the policy comes in.
Well, I would love to be able to see a group, a task force or a working group, more so a working group that is focused on helping the archives. And helping is by actually looking through records, seeing what we have. It's pretty self-explanatory when you look into certain tapes and you open up a box and there's nothing there, or you touch it and it just falls apart. But then that has to be marked as to we owned it once. Now we don't. This is what happened to it. You know, so it's at this point, you know, a working group that would be willing to actually work and take a look at what we have and help with that categorization of it. Because we are at that point of if it's not possible to save it, it can't be saved. But we do have to keep record of what we once had. Once it then comes to the point of priority, once we have that cleared out, and then we have the ability to prioritize what may be of best interest to digitize first, then we'll have to have a group that can determine and talk about what is of best value. But also it's based upon, I know with even with the LA Unified School District, they have had requests and suggestions. Well, this is what we're looking for with materials that would be helpful in our classrooms. Or talking to, you know, the Lucas Museum of Narrative Arts. This is the sound that we're looking for. These are the recordings, or even the Academy of Television Arts and Motion Picture Sciences. These things were recorded on a machine that no longer exists. Do you have blankety blank, you know, tapes on this? the person and the publishing company that is looking to put together transcripts of historical things. They have a whole list of, do you have information from this poet? Do you have information or a conversation with this French, you know, director? Do you have, you know, so there's people out there and groups out there that come to us requesting certain items that would be beneficial to them and profitable to us. But we don't know where they are and if they are in good shape. So we need individuals that are either have a great historical knowledge of the archives and what we have that can help Mark. Mark has a great historical knowledge of that. Past archive directors that may be able to share their knowledge and their historical knowledge of what we have, and then being able to really take a look at what is salvageable, what is not, and keep records of everything that we have. And even if it's, as I said, it's not salvageable, we still need to have a record of what we once had.